He was not the one we thought would come. We were looking for a king, but he didn't come in glory. The author of the oceans and the sun, still he chose to be written in our story. So he could feel us instead. Emmanuel, he meets you where you are. He holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all. Without a home, helpless as a baby. So if we're feeling lost in our own lives, we are not alone. He's felt the same thing because he
Burn in me. fire burning in my soul. Burn up the dross.
For 1,000 years the dream. for the name of the promise was Jesus. The faithful one saw time was full and the ancient pledge was honored. So God the Son, the incarnate one, his final word, his own son, was born in Bethlehem, but came into our hearts to live. What more could God have given? Tell me, what more did he have to give? What more could God have given? Tell me, what more did he have to give? The promise was love and the promise was life. The promise meant life.
One day I met this fine old patriot while down at the county jail, who would not allow a friend of his to show and post his bail. And when I asked him, "What you in here for?" his eye stared straight through me. And then he said, "Young man, I'm in here for the sake of liberty." He said, "It starts the day you enter this old world of scoff and scorn, with a state-approved certificate to prove that you was born. Somehow the state believes without it that we might all just disappear. And if there's one thing true about a tyrant's rule, it's still his biggest fear. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through Lost Liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those papers after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore." He said, "I found myself inside this cell a week or so ago, when a law enforcement officer," he said, "he kidnapped him off the road. When he asked to see my license and my vehicle registration and some proof I had insurance, that's when he thought he'd have some fun. And so he told that county officer, 'I don't mean to ridicule, but you should be smart enough to know this ain't no vehicle. 'Cause when your mode of transportation ain't for commercial purposes, you don't need no registration or insurance or licenses. You see, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through Lost Liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those contracts after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. Just 'cause I used to be 5, 4, 3, 4, 6, 6, 6, 7, 3. Don't mean the truth, you see. Can't set me free to be a son of liberty. You see, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through lost liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those numbers after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. It ain't fiction, it's a fact. And I ain't never coming back until my congressman's behind these prison doors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 28th day of September, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan. And the topic for today's broadcast is When the Wicked Rule. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, PastorDan.net. So, let me just answer here. I got a relative wondering if we're doing okay down here in the storm, in South Florida. So I apologize for that. Just want to let my aunt know we're doing okay. So anyway, the topic again is when the wicked rule. And the website, I gave you that. Draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where we put information about current events and other important information up there and change it on a frequent basis. The other page is the home page where you can find information about how to make a donation. And the Contact Us page will give you a way to reach me if you do not have my personal contact information. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. So hallelujah for that. We had a pretty good open Zoom meeting today with the members of the RighteousArmy.org folks. It's also Militia USA. But the Righteous Army and the Militia are almost synonymous terms. A lot of people don't know that. We brought that up at the meeting. The early colonists in this country, the militia was made up of church members, and often the local militia leader was the pastor of the church. So it's just the men of the county, men of the local shire, who organize together should there be a threat that's larger than just a common criminal operating by himself, where the man of the house would typically take care of that all by himself. But let's say a gang of thieves or a small raiding party or whatever might be coming into the area, then you would need to have something a little more substantial and organized, and that was the reason for the men forming the militia and picking leaders so that if there was a time when a larger, more organized effort was needed, then they could help out by doing that. And they were also there to help the local constable or sheriff in their duties. They not only were able to help him, but their job was also to monitor the local constable or the sheriff to make sure that they did not step out of bounds and try to use their position of trust to commit crimes against we the people in the neighborhoods, etc. So a lot of common sense. It's very simple, very biblical. It's not going to cost a lot of money. Doesn't take a whole lot of effort if we do things God's way. And again, that's why the title was, you know, when the wicked rule, because that's who is in government today, man-made governments, are the wicked people, meaning those who disobey the Father, don't even believe in Him. Most of them, many of them are Satanists, atheists at least, occultists, and then, of course, the Zionists are, as Christ said, children of the devil himself. So they are antagonistic to all of our efforts and us as a people. If they have their way, of course, they will destroy us. So we're going to go through some verses here that talk about this concept of what happens when the wicked rule, and the fact that getting back to our faith in our Father and trusting His law to correct things is where we need to go. All right? And getting people to understand that simple concept is very difficult, because we've been brainwashed to think we need man-made government. No, we don't. That we need man-made religious institutions. No, we don't. Man-made banking institutions. No, we don't. Centralized learning systems. No, we don't. Centralized healthcare. No, we don't. We don't need any of them. In fact, they are often working against our best interests. But we are propagandized morning, noon, and night by the media, and then they use our people in uniform to bludgeon folks that don't go along with that program. And then, of course, the media comes in and paints it everywhere that, see, here's what will happen. So you might be right. We are communists. We're going to take over. But if you tell anybody or you try to expose us, we'll take you down, and if you don't learn your lesson, we may even take you out, meaning we will murder you. So, perilous times, the end of the age, just as he said it would. Everything is upside down. Good is called evil. Evil is called good. So, but anyway, we're going to start here in Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous increase, now this is the English Standard Version, which is a mistranslation here, but we'll get into that. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Okay, now if you were to analyze this verse, you would automatically say we got a conjunction here called but. So this when statement, and then we have a but statement, they should be in alignment, okay? If you're going to say something with the when statement, it should be in the same context of the but statement. Well, the but statement is correctly translated. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Well, the when statement should be in the same category here, talking about who's in government. But the translators put, when the righteous increase. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. So it's when the righteous rule or govern, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule or govern, the people groan. Can you hear the groaning going on today? Yeah, because it is. We have wicked people at all levels of government today. The man-made government is of the beast system. So you have to figure that out. Now we can go to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 15. To execute judgment, so this is very close to Psalm 149, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, again, Scripture does not say it's our job to turn our cheek to the ungodly or the wicked. That turning of the cheek and forgiving 70 times 7 has to do with you and me as followers of the way, meaning believers and followers of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ. Okay, as brothers and sisters in the faith and racial brothers and sisters, that we're part of a family. And family members are supposed to take a strike, so to speak, against the cheek in order to preserve our union. It's not talking about people flooding across our borders by the thousands, tens of thousands. It's not talking about interlopers and invaders that have been here for generations who are not part of our family, who have taken advantage of us over and over again and of our generosity. It's not talking about those people. If they offend, we are to strike them down. Now, if we have a member of our own racial family who's decided that he's going to violate God's law, well, he will be treated exactly the same way. God's law will not just bring judgment against the people that are outside of our racial family, but it will bring judgment to our racial family first, and then to the rest of the people. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, you have heard that it was said, quote, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And again, this is talking about people within our own community, meaning racial community and brothers and sisters of the faith. That's who they're talking about here. When it says hate your enemy and your adversary, it's talking about people within that group, not outside of that group. Okay? It's a mistranslation of the church and a misinterpretation of the context of it by the church world, because it is antichrist. It's trying to set you up for the slaughter. You're being led like little sheep to the slaughter by the preachers and pastors of today. Romans 13, here we go, verse 4. For he is God's servant for your good. We're talking about the authorities. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of Yahweh God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, man-made government does not fit this bill. They are not servants of our Father in heaven, and they're not doing anything to the evildoers. They're turning their back on their deeds. And so this proves, and other verses in Romans 13 prove, that the only governments that require our obedience and allegiance to are godly governments made up of our own men. And let me repeat that again in case you missed it. Made up of our men of noble character, good reputation, knowledge of Yahweh's law, believers in the of the way, landowners, and members of our racial family. That's who Father gives the right to sit in the jury box, hold a public office, or to cast a ballot in an election. Only that group of people. Again, an enemy crept in and convinced our ancestors that somehow that was unfair. That's, you know, why should only that group get to do and have power and govern? And again, remember, it wasn't power so much as responsibility. But when the interlopers took over these positions, they turned them into power positions for their own benefit. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered. So it's all of them, Peter and the apostles. We must obey Yahweh God rather than men. How about that? We must obey God rather than men. That's kind of funny, because the narrative today says just the opposite, doesn't it? Proverbs 16, verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to do evil. Whoa, wait a minute. It's an abomination for presidents, prime ministers, kings, potentates, monarchs, to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Yeah, if it's got the right people sitting on it that meet the qualifications and they show themselves to be righteous individuals. Because remember, it's not the wicked that we are to support, it's only the righteous. So it's an abomination when government officials, public servants, you could put in here, do evil. Leviticus 19, verse 15. You shall do no injustice in court. Boy, I wonder if any court officials and reporters and lawyers and judges have read this verse in a while. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, meaning people of social status. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor, meaning your kinfolk in the area. Okay, so again, government of people have no right to commit crimes and get away with it. You want to bring justice in this world? You want to see the world change for the better? Then start implementing Yahweh's law. Start supporting the people who wish to establish our Christian constitutional and common law courts. And get the local constables or local sheriffs to work with our posses and go out and arrest these wrongdoers, no matter what their station in life, no matter how much money they have, and hold them accountable for our Heavenly Father's law. Wouldn't that be a grand day to see actual justice brought about on the streets of America and Europe and Canada and Australia, New Zealand, wherever our people are? And I'm sure the other races would love to see some justice, because they're not getting it either by these bankers, these people that are in the pocket of the bankers and financiers. The world groans, folks, waiting for us. The world groans, waiting for the sons of the Most High to get off their ass and do what he put them here to do. When will they wake up, Father Yahweh? Jeremiah 51, verse 45. Now, this is shifting gears a little bit on the topic, because this came up earlier today, and we're going to talk just a little bit about that. Go out of the midst of her, my people. Let everyone save his life from the fierce anger of Yahweh. So what are you to get out of the midst of? Babylon, maybe? Here's another version of that same verse. My people, go away from the middle of her, and each of you save yourselves from Yahweh's fierce anger. What do you think they're talking about here? What was Jeremiah in chapter 51 talking about? Because Yahweh has had just about enough of our nonsense, our lackadaisical attitudes, our cowardice, our slothfulness, our disobedience. The whole world is in travail. The whole world is suffering and groaning under all of the machinations of these creatures that walk amongst us. He says, isn't it time for my jubilee? Isn't it time that I can pour out the storehouses of heaven upon those who do what? Righteousness. Not the wicked. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, and this is the translation from South Africa called the Scriptures. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. They have it footnoted that you can reference here Jeremiah 51:6, Jeremiah 51:9, Jeremiah 51 verse 45. And you can also go to Jeremiah 50 verse 8, Jeremiah 50 verse 13, and Jeremiah 50 verse 28. So come out of this Babylonian system, which is something that we are endeavoring to do, I'm making plans with a small group of some of the brightest and best of our men that I know, that we can put our heads together and hope that the Holy Spirit will visit our meeting and come up with some possible solutions for the ARC project, at least on a small scale. And if we can do it on a small scale, then perhaps that'll catch on with other communities of believers in other locations. We need to circle our wagons, folks, because as this says here, come out from the midst of her, because you're going to need to do that to save your life from the fierce anger. It's just like this whole COVID scamdemic. If you came out of the system and refused to put the poison in you, you are not going to suffer. Now, there will be persecution against you for doing that, because they want everybody altered with this deadly serum. And so naturally, if a slave is resistant, these overlords are going to be upset. But your body is your responsibility. And it's your job to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of people say, well, I've got a car payment, I got a house payment, my children go to school. Okay, yeah, and they need things. Okay, yeah. Well, all through history, our people have been held accountable for what they do. It's not different today just because you live in a modern world with all kinds of little toys and trinkets and fancy cars with more gadgets than you need, and houses with more room and more gadgets than you need, and computers and laptops and flat screens. Okay, so Babylon toys to play with. That doesn't make Babylon right. It doesn't mean you have the right to ignore your responsibility simply because you want to keep the toys and you don't want the Babylonians to call you names. Well, remember what they used to say in the nursery school rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Hallelujah. Names will never hurt me. You can call me names all day long. I don't care. So, again, the meeting went really well. I think it's starting to take a turn that we're realizing that this whole effort to have a group of men in our communities who are armed to defend ourselves, because you cannot count on the police, you cannot count on the sheriff's department, and you cannot count on the military. Not in this day and age. Especially when things escalate. Now, look what happened when there was just a shortage of toilet paper. What do you think is going to happen if there's a shortage of food in general? Or if all of the power goes out? Or if they close all the banks and there's no funds? There's no electronic money or paper money, either one. Okay? What kind of pandemonium do you think will be in the streets if people panic over something as silly as a storm coming? Yeah, really. More people get hurt in what they do because they panicked than the actual storm, usually. Okay, so a storm might be coming and they run out like complete zombies racing to get all the stuff they should have had prepped long before. The same thing when they said there was a virus out there and it was going to cause harm. Did anybody bother to check? No, they just panicked and ran around like chickens with their heads cut off, doing all kinds of stupid ass shit. And lots of people got hurt in the panic. So it doesn't take a whole lot to mentally be able to see what could happen in the very near future. So we need to be taking steps to make preparations, to circle our wagons, to defend ourselves, which we have a right to do. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the Constitution, doesn't come from a state constitution, doesn't come from any statutes or regulations. It comes from the Almighty at birth. You and I as free men and women upon the land. They can say whatever they want. They can claim that they've got your birth certificate held in a certain account and they're trading it on a stock exchange. Well, that's, people are allowed to gamble on anything. You know, if you got a basketball game at the local college or high school, there'll be people gambling on it. There'll be people make money on it. That doesn't mean the players were part of it. Doesn't mean any of the parents of the players gave permission for them to do that. So the bankers are playing a game with you and I along the same lines. They get you to go down and fill out a birth certificate, and they're playing a game that this birth certificate represents a person that we're going to get to work as a slave in our factories, and we're going to get to tax them to death. So this is worth money, and we're going to exchange it between us evil pieces of crap banking bankers. And that's pretty much what they're doing. And now they're claiming, well, we need to do something to come out of that system. Well, we didn't volunteer into it. And no, don't tell me I signed something for a driver's license, whatever. No, that's fraud. Nobody sat down and said, well, do you know by you signing this that you're giving them the right to own you and use you as a commodity? Did anybody sit down and talk to you about that? No. No, they did not. So anything like that done under fraud has no validity, cannot be upheld. Now, will the Beast system claim that they got some jurists and lawyers or whatnot in their pockets that they can claim that, yeah, we do have that right? Well, sure they can. But you know what? They tried to justify, the Catholic Church tried to justify burning people at the stake for hundreds of years too. Yeah. But were they proper? Were they right to do that? No, they committed murder. Catholic Church has murdered many martyrs. She's the whore dripping with the blood of the innocents. Catholic Church is the whore that rides on the beast. This fake, phony, man-made world government upholds the whore, gives her validity through their narratives and through their media, as if it's legitimate, when the Catholic Church, I'm sorry if you're part of it, but the Catholic Church is the great whore spoken of in Revelation. She sits upon the beast. And the beast will one day soon tear her asunder and throw her down, because they don't need to even have the pretext of a, quote, Christian religion. They'll just simply be the monsters, the satanic monsters in charge. So they won't need that Catholic Church. They're going to throw them all under the bus. They'll get what they have coming, because most of them are pedophiles and have done very nasty things. Most of them are Satanists. I'm talking about the hierarchy. Okay? Good people should leave the Catholic Church. Their doctrines are evil. Their politics is evil. They support evil and hide those amongst their ranks that do evil deeds. They are evil. How could you not see that? Well, Dan, our family's been in the Catholic Church for generations. Okay, and that allows you to stay in it. How? I'm sorry, but that doesn't hold much water. Nope. Sorry. Get the hell out of it. And the same thing goes for the Methodists, the Baptists, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and all the rest of them. All of the man-made, centralized, communist church institutions. They have led the sheep to the slaughter because they are not identifying the communist Jew behind the curtain, pulling the strings and committing these atrocities. Enough said, right? Going to keep it a little bit short tonight. I've got some things I've got to finish up here. And I think everybody is very, very busy. So I'm trying to get everybody to try to get their points across in a very succinct manner. So I need to do the same thing. If it's needed to go longer at times, okay, we'll do that. But there's nothing wrong with keeping it short and sweet, get the point across, and then let you get back to your activities, because everybody should be prepping for what's coming. Everybody should be paying attention to what's going on in the world around you. And you need, if Yahweh allows you, you need to make preparations to get out of the cities and out of the high population urban areas. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We would ask that you be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Give us good vision to see through the lies and deceptions. Give us a stiff backbone that we would have courage to do the right things because it is the right thing to do and not because it will gain us money, power, prestige, whatever. We do have many foes at this time, anybody trying to do the right thing and to tell the truth. We ask that you would lift all of the truth tellers out there, lift them up by your Holy Spirit, also give them comfort and watch over them and all of us. We ask for protection from those who are against us and would do harm to us. We count your enemies as our enemies and hate them with a perfect hatred, Father Yahweh. Once again, thank you for this opportunity, Father, and thank you for putting us here at this critical time in history, that we can make a difference, that we can stand for you and for your law in this lawless world that we find ourselves in. We pray for your coming to be very soon, the establishment of the kingdom totally on this earth, and the end of the rule of the wicked upon this earth. Ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Remember when you're fighting any battle. Remember when the mountain's hard to climb. That Yahweh is your refuge and your shelter. He does not yield to circumstance nor time. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song. Your anchor in the storm, your blanket to keep warm. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song. Forever true be his love for you. Days ahead indeed are filled with peril, and you can't endure the trials on your own. So walk in faith and trust his hand to rescue. He won't forsake or make you walk alone. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song. Your anchor in the storm, your blanket to keep warm. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song. Forever true be his love for you. When your life draws near its final chapter, and you know you've run the good and faithful race, still draw your strength and courage from the Father, just as he promised those who seek his face. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song. Your anchor in the storm, your blanket to keep warm. May Yahweh be your strength, shield, and song, forever true be his love for you. Forever true be his love for you.
Breaking into is just a lonely lesson learned to see you walk away with him hurts me so. This fool who loves you doesn't want to let you go. There goes my heart breaking in two. There goes my eyes crying over you. My arms go on for us to part. So when you go, here comes the blues. There goes my heart. So when you go, here comes the blues. There goes my heart. So when you go, here comes the blues. There goes my heart.
Oh, my time of sadness, I will lift my voice in praise to you. Time stands still as I kneel down before draws near like waves upon the shore. You touch me in my brokenness, in these whispering shadows I will lift the pieces of my heart. I will live.